Yeah. Alrighty, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We have exhausted the study of prove all things. Does anybody have any question about what it means?
So, you know, that word, it is dokimos or something, is it's a great word.
Yeah.
It's like, it's proving it, but not for unto disapproval, unto approval.
Right.
Basically, you're just affirming that God's in control of everything. It's going to work out, with or without.
The mystery of this is that there's so many people that have on the Babylonian garment because there's everything in their life is cause and effect. And so what it limits your understanding of everything else, because if you believe in cause and effect, which you've done all your life, then to escape that or come out of that is a big deal, because if you don't, it clouds everything else in the scriptures. You look through the scriptures with Babylonian eyes. Amen?
One of the important things there is to realize that flesh will always believe in cause and effect, because it can't do anything different than fact. And then when you walk in the Spirit, you see differently.
Yeah, but you have to first see that you know. That's what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that cause and effect is no longer even in your vocabulary. So the mind must be renewed. Because if you still go after cause and effect, and that's your foundation for life, then faith makes, faith comes in only on extreme conditions. Peace a little bit.
And your walls have to come down. You can't.
And we had a few big walls come down last night.
This proving is what makes the walls come down, because you prove them to be not sufficient to feel pain. So it's revealed that they're proven to be made stupid.
And they're not profitable.
All righty. Prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast is kateko, and it means to possess. But it starts out by, seizing it, and then finally you possess it. And so there's no, you don't even think like you used to think. There's no, now you're holding fast what you have proven. And so as you prove all, this is all the time, this is the reason that we're in time, so that you can see that, so you can come out of time, but you must hold then fast, securely, in every arena of your life. There can be no exceptions. So you hold fast that which is good. Now, what is the definition of good? It's not our definition. It's his definition. And our definition of good is that, it pleases us and we get stuff. But God's definition of good is only that which is in line with his mystery. The mystery of the bride. The mystery of losing yourself in that. In him. And then let's just look at a few scriptures. Let's go to Luke 14. We're talking about holding fast now. I am a little wiped out. I don't even know how to explain it. I had muscle spasms in the places I don't usually have muscle spasms. All right, verse... Oh, I'm not there yet. Yeah. This is Jesus' teaching on humility here in verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden or asked of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man his place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest seat. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, where's hold fast in all of that? Anybody got any hint?
Hold fast to the lowest place.
Right. So you take it and you possess it automatically. There's not even any thought to go to the highest seat. You automatically, because you've held fast to that which is good, which is emptiness, humility. And so you're holding fast to that. You take it automatically. Not because you're going to take it so that you're going to go and have him come up and say to you, let's go to the better seat. You're going to take it because that's what you think you deserve, the lowest seat. You don't deserve the highest seat.
It's like you've embraced it. And it's you, it's become you. It's not something that you practice, it's who you are.
All right. And him. It's because that's who he is. That's what he does.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1. We got to start a little earlier than I need to start, just because I love this verse. 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or prevented hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. In other words, he'd never been to Rome yet. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, the word there is, it's the verse 18. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Therefore, they have seized the truth, i.e. a philosophy, but they're living as a Gentile. So that they've seized the wrong thing. They've seized the philosophy instead of it being one and it being you, instead of, as you said, that you automatically do it. It's because it's his, it's him, it's not us. And if it's any part of you, then you will hold the truth in unrighteousness.
It's like they knew the truth, but they didn't acknowledge God.
Right, they didn't live it.
We was talking about like God and nature and all that.
Right.
That's an angel of light.
They did their own thing for the flesh.
All right. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Withholdeth there is the same word. So hold fast. Kachik, kateko. So what is he doing here? What does that mean? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Let's go back up and let's start over again on this one. This one's kind of important. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence or coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So, that puts me in big trouble because I say that the day of Christ is now.
Yeah.
Unless you read a little further. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away or an apostasy first, that the man of sin be revealed. But the man of sin, the son of perdition. Now, nothing can happen. The day cannot come. That's why for 2,000 years we've been in the night of the day, the night of the last day. And the day, the light of the day, cannot come except there come an apostasy, a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, you believe that the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed?
We've talked about it being when you recognize that you are the man of sin.
You are the man of sin. You are the son of perdition. And when that
happens,
then it's revealed. Then the day can come at any point. The reason that the gospel is still seen as an instrument of self-realization for the masses of people is that this hasn't been shown, this hasn't been seen. How can I possibly consider self-realization when I know I am the man of sin, the son of perdition? I must at all times and in all purposes abandon myself and repent that Christ, who is my life, can live in me.
That is a cornerstone of understanding. Without it, you think you can gain this understanding. Just use it.
Now, the thing that's kind of dangerous is that man of sin has been revealed.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not just here, but, I mean, you know, when I talk to people, we get a lot of visitors that want to come back and see me, see the freak. And I, almost without exception, we get into this conversation, and I tell them who the Antichrist is, that it's they, and us, and me. And all of a sudden, there's this look of weirdness on their face, and then an aha moment. Then they walk away and forget it.
It's an aha moment, and then you either decide to accept it or you decide to dream up something else.
Because their whole mystery of God to them is a philosophy. It's just air. It's like the subprime crisis. I mean, it's nothing.
And they walk away and say, that was interesting.
Yeah, that's why, you know, and then they say, well, I won't go into all the stuff they say. But all right.
Well, what's being held in here? Who's holding what, and what's being revealed?
What's withholding? Remember that we've talked about that the in Revelation about the four winds and the four beasts and the four everything is they're just it's like they're anxious they want to do it they want to come and God is withholding all that from happening until the man of sin the son of perdition be revealed
in his time right so
right.
Which is and now we know
his time is
the time is now because we've seen
everybody understand that
so he's holding. It's the same word, like you're holding. He's holding fast all this stuff,
right.
Which is truth, because it's just the same kind of stuff.
Right.
And then it's released at the moment when everything's coming down.
This is the empowerment to wait.
All right. Let's go to Hebrews. I can't say that. Forgive me. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me wisdom?
Where are we going?
Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, and also Moses was faithful on all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, which is the resurrection in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're not about learning anything. We're not about doing anything. We're about being faithful to what he has shown us.
You know, this reminds me of Jacob wrestling with the angel.
Yeah.
And he holds fast until he gets blessed, but it's like he didn't even know what he was holding fast to. I mean, if he had known what was going to happen, he might not have wanted to do that. But it was, you know, there was something God put in him to hold fast to this thing, and then it turns out
Amen.
As a blessing, you know, unexpected.
All right, everybody got hold fast down?
I'm holding fast.
All right, then hold fast that which is good. That which is good is ho kalos. It's that which is the most precious thing that you could believe or see or understand. That which is eminent above all things. that which is of this mystery of the bride, that which is of what is in the heart of God.
It's not the usual word for good. Like good, like
agathos is normally good. This is kalos. Because it has a greater meaning of eminence. Let's go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews. No, let's go to Romans. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 2. No, let's not go there, because that's hard to explain. Let's go to Romans 5. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Good there. That means the best that man can be. Some would dare to die for that person. So this is how kokalos again. All right? Gary, you got it?
Yeah, I'm thinking about wartime where men follow generals into battle. You know, that's he's a good man, he's right, so I'll risk my life for this cause.
Right. All right, so now let's go to Romans 7.
That next number 8 there, though, Christ died for us.
The opposite of good.
Yeah. Okay, Romans 7.
That's so bizarre that God doesn't think like we think.
Thank God. In verse 14, Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't want to do. I allow not. And what I don't want to do, that's what I do. That's some targuming it. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that this is good. Now, the word good there is agathos. But consent the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Okay, that how to perform. First of all, it's no good thing, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't know how to do it. Okay? So,
this is all under the umbrella of holding fast.
Yeah. No. Well, and that which is good.
And that was good, yeah.
I find then a law, then it goes on. Then I want, when I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. So this is why this is so incredibly dangerous spiritually. When you think you're doing a good thing for God or for someone else, then you know you've missed the point. Because you're doing it as unto man and not as unto God. You got it?
and we cannot figure out the good thing to do.
No, we
minds
just
are not geared.
The only thing we can do is abandon ourselves.
Yeah, because we're already fully programmed with our own bullshit.
So everything has to be emptying. That's the basis of life. Emptying, emptying, emptying. Down to and including the smallest details.
So many, whenever we read passages like this and then I flash on all these different things over the years that we've gone through to knock away all the crap that's covering up that truth.
Amen.
It's like, man, it took a lot of stuff, I mean, it's like, God must be getting a little frustrated with this.
Well, we got into this last night, too. Somebody said, well, if I did that, Ole, I would just sit in a corner all day. And I said, then you don't believe in God. You have a form of godliness, but deny his efficacy in you.
Somebody should be challenged to go ahead and sit in that corner and see what happens.
I think we have a few examples of that already. Ezekiel.
That tension between going about doing your daily stuff and knowing and holding fast to this truth is the thing that generates this. Basically, it's the Shekinah glory around you that nobody sees or anything, but that's the miracle working kind of atmosphere of what this is all talking about.
Amen.
Because that's where it all happens.
It doesn't happen in big moments. It happens in the small, seemingly insignificant details. That's where he is revealed from faith to faith. So that soon there's no more thought of doing or being or anything else. It's just him. That's why the definition of a church is so critical, because a church is a group of people whose life is only him. No interest in all is doing or not doing. It's just him. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13. Verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I just beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the operative word here is make you perfect in every good work. And you could, what men do is they put their definition of a good work on it. But the good work, the eminence here, is letting Christ be Christ. Abandoning yourself so perfectly to his will that there's never a difference between lip and life. There's never a difference between inner and outer. It's just him. And a body of people who are in that is the church. Amen?
Yeah. Moving like those birds.
And more. One more. 1 Peter. Just another page over or two.
Verse
verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind.
Huh? What chapter?
Hebrews. I mean, 1 Peter 3, I'm sorry. Verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. That word pitiful there doesn't mean what you think it does. It means meek. Means meek.
We're already there.
Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, from God's perspective, do evil means those that are still in self-seeking or self-realization. And this is... That's really Psalm 34, by the way, that we just read. Now, can you... It takes a long time. Okay, this is evil, this is good. We've got all kinds of baggage about what evil means and all kinds of baggage about what good means. Just get rid of them. Good is that which is in perfect harmony with the will of God, i.e. abandonment. Evil is all the issue of self-realization. Self doing something, self becoming something, self knowing something. Good, evil. Amen? Well, I'm just trying to do the right thing. No.
And then that last verse is be followers of that, which is good.
Right. All righty. Pretty important stuff. What's going on, Gary? You can smell the grease all the way over here.
I'm thinking how this is tested. What happens, you know, you see this position, you hold fast, and what happens if you get in a position of authority or where you have to do something? It doesn't change. None of this changes, but it really puts you through the fire to remain and not say, okay, thank you, Lord. I appreciate what you've done. Now I'll take it from here. It's like that seems to always be the around the corner.
That's the progression of from the darling infant to the teenager to the young adult to the father. You go through all of these things, Lord. The darling infant is, oh my God, I'm hungry. You know, it's all about everything is, and it progresses up to holding fast with every single breath. There's no thought that isn't part of this mystery. There's no action. There's no, you've eschewed the crap of Babylon, cause and effect. The greatest enemy of faith and mercy there is. So that's why over and over it says, come out of her, my people. The her is Babylon. Amen?
It makes me think of how evil it is to put a novice in a position of authority or a new believer as an icon, bragging about his...
celebrity selling was part of the Corinthian heresy. Three things were part of the Corinthian heresy. One that God's purpose in sending Christ to die and suffer and rise again was so you could be healthy and rich. second part of it was that we'll have to wait tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow to talk about those.